We were supposed to do Romans chapter 3. And I came into church Monday and I got my outline together and studied Romans 3. And then Tuesday I came in and I spent about the first hour and a half in prayer. And as I did that, the Lord changed my sermon. So I'm not in Romans today. So if you read Romans 3 and you were ready for it, God bless you. You will get it, but not this week. I entitled this sermon, Taking a Stand. Taking a Stand. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. I'm so grateful that you are here. Lord, we just humble ourselves in your presence right now. Lord, we don't need to hear a man. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today. So I'm just praying, Father, Lord, let me get out of the way and you speak to your people. Father, Lord, let our hearts and our minds be illuminated, Lord, with revelation knowledge from your word. Lord, I know the Spirit can speak one thing to one person and something totally different to another, right beside them maybe. So we humble ourselves and we submit ourselves to you for the moving of the Holy Spirit in this service. Father, may you be glorified above all things. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in this service. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you want to turn to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10 is our main text, 46 through 52. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. Many of you will have heard that. I want to start off with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, which should be on the screen. He says, therefore, do not cast away. And the Greek word for there is apobalo, something like that. Apobalo. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast away your confidence. What's that mean? Don't cast away your confidence in Him. You've been standing, you've been believing for a long time. It's not time to turn back. It's not time to let go of the promise. It's time to take a stand, right? So I want this to get deep in your heart. Don't cast away your confidence. You are saved. You are God's anointed. God knows your name. God knows you. You know God. You know God's promises. You know what God has spoken to you. Now is not the day to lay it down. Now is the day to be a bulldog in your faith. You know, they say the reason a bulldog's nose is back and slanted up is where he can bite and still breathe. That's the way we need to do in the faith. Just bite and hang on and still breathe where you can do it for the long haul. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 through 13, he says this. We do not wrestle flesh and blood. Stop right there. Get that in your heart. Your problem is not your neighbor. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. My problem is not a man. It's demonic. Now, that demonic spirit may be coming through a man, but I don't fight the man. I fight the spirit that's in the man, right? I fight the spirit that's motivating the person. Fight the spirit. Our problem is not Obama. It's not Mitch McConnell. Sure seems to be sometimes. It's not flesh and blood. It's the spirit of Antichrist that's at work in the world, and especially in America. Don't get me to preaching, people. We don't wrestle flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age. People wonder, You said it in Sunday school, if God is love, why do we have all the problems in this world? Because Satan is the prince and the power of the air. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. But greater is he that's in us as believers than he that's in the world. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I believe that we're living in the evil day. I believe that I cannot believe how fast things are changing at this point. How rapidly morality is, it is the snowball effect. It is rolling downhill and it's just catching and gathering up steam and it's coming quick. You better know how to stand. Because I'm afraid some of these preachers on TV that we bought into, that everything is, your best days are ahead of you. Well, they are. Those days when you're raptured up and standing in heaven is still ahead of us. So our best days, they're not lying to you. They're just not telling you maybe what's in the middle. Let's skip this middle part. And I'm afraid that we may have a time in America. Let me back that up. You may have a time in your life. Skip America. Let's take this down to the individual person. You may have a time in your life where you've just got to stand and believe. You may not have any evidence whatsoever that God is moving and God's in charge and great things are happening. You may just have to stand and believe. Don't throw down your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Greater is He that's in you, even when it doesn't look like it. You know, when they told Paul, they said, you're going to stand before kings one day and testify. But they didn't tell him he was going to stand as a prisoner. They left that little detail out. I couldn't imagine today if somebody said, you're going to stand before Obama and you're going to testify. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I could just see myself standing there. No one said I'd be in an orange jump-up suit with my hands tied behind my back. Yes, sir, I believe the gospel. It may not come down the way you think it's coming down. Don't throw your confidence away. Now look over to Mark chapter 10. It's talking about Jesus and His disciples. He says, now they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho, have you ever felt like you missed it? Like, man, the revival was last week and I missed the revival. He came into Jericho, and as He was going out of Jericho. I remember one time we had a preacher at Hope Harbor, and this guy was moving in the gifts, and he was just going through the, just prophesying over people. And my son, my oldest son at that time was about 17, 18 years old, and he was just so antsy. And finally the pastor, the evangelist comes back and he said, somebody in here, thinks that they missed it, you know, that they wanted me to speak over them and I didn't speak. And boy, my son shot out of that seat just like a rocket and he wanted to hear from God. That's a good thing. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? Because it may determine what you receive. He was coming into Jericho. And now He's leaving Jericho with His disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, He's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know, my first thought here, which is not in the notes, but my first thought is the blind man saw something that many people didn't see. He said, Jesus is coming by. And he says, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. You know what? Bartimaeus saw that he was the Messiah. A lot of people with sight didn't see it. Couldn't see it. Couldn't believe it. But he saw something. So Bartimaeus begins to cry out, Son of Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I can just see this in my mind. He's standing by the roadside begging. And as he hears, and he probably is more sensitive to his hearing than we are, but he can hear them moving down the road. He may even hear them moving past him. So he's crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Don't miss me. He may hear them moving past him, and he hears people saying, would you please be quiet? Hush yourself. He doesn't have time to mess with you. You be quiet. You're Newsome. Just shut up. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm going to tell you, people are going to try to silence you. The world wants to silence us in two ways. They want to silence our praise. See, when you're saying, Jesus, Son of David, that's a type of praise. I recognize who you are. I recognize that my help comes in you. I recognize you are the Messiah. Don't miss this opportunity. And all the while, people, well-meaning maybe, but people are saying, be quiet, hold down. Have you ever got so excited in the service that maybe someone said, settle down now. Simmer down, brother, simmer down. Shut up and get out of my way. I'm about to have a praise explosion. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how good God has been to me. And if I want to get a little noisy, you might want to step out of the room. I'm going to tell you, when you realize how good God has been to you, it ought to affect you. It ought to affect your praise. It ought to even affect your praise volume just a little bit. It worries me when Christians worship. I just don't understand it. Someone gave his life for you. Of all the sick things you've done in your life, he forgave you. He wipes away the shame. He says, I'm going to let you start your life over anew and afresh. All the ugliness of the past, I'm going to take away from you. The strongholds, the things that people have done to you, I can remove that also. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Oh, blind Bartimaeus could see better than many people with sight. I know where my help comes from. I know that he can touch my life. And they're trying to silence him, just like the world is trying to silence us today. Hey guys, y'all not talk about homeless. You're a hater. You're a hater if you talk about anybody that's life is sinful. You know what really is hate? Hate is really letting people go to hell without hearing the message of grace. If this brother is headed off the road and I know the bridge is out and he's speeding down the road and I don't tell him, hey man, you do know that bridge is out, right? Well, I just love him so much. I don't want to hurt his feelings. You go in grace, my brother. Hope you can swim. That ain't love, guys. Love is not letting your children do as they please. Love is applying correction to the seat of the pants. You know, I believe God gave you a little extra flesh back there for a reason. Some of you are doubly numb. Woohoo! You ought to be shouting for that blessing. This is not the day for us to lose our voice. This is the day when we better speak up all the more. You see, there is such a spirit of deception in this world. It is the spirit of Antichrist. That people don't know that what they're doing leads to death. The way of man seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I am so sad that when we read that, your mind goes to me and not to you. I am not the only preacher in the place. I wish every one of you had a mirror, could hold that mirror up and say, "Hey, preacher. You are the preacher. You are in lives. You are seeing people daily that I will never see. You're the preacher that he's talking about. You better find your voice." 2 Corinthians 5:20 then says, "Now then, we are Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. As though God were pleading through us." Well, what if we're silent? Maybe we should write that over. As though God wants to plead through us. As though God would plead through us. If only we would open our voice. Open our mouth. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. You know, one of the most amazing things in life to me is when you speak and you know God just spoke through you. And that happens more than just here in the pulpit. I mean, haven't you ever been talking to a coworker or somebody, maybe even one of your children, and you say something and then all of a sudden it just clicks in your heart, "That wasn't me, that's God. God just spoke." Man, I'm telling you, it still amazes me. It still just baffles me that God could use my voice and speak through me. Goodness knows the devil has used it many times. Yeah, you should. Somebody ought to have said double amen on that one. I gave Satan 40 years of my life. And oh boy, okay. We may have to go back to this point. Don't let the world silence you. Don't let anything or anyone stand in your way of receiving a blessing. Don't let someone intimidate you so that you don't receive. You know who the main culprit is? Get that mirror back out. Because most of the time, it's us. I hear all the time at the back of the church, "I should have went to the altar today." You know why? That doesn't do you a lot of good. Why didn't you? Well, I was worried what people are going to think. You know what? You probably need to get over yourself. People really don't think about you that much. It's amazing how much we think that people are thinking about me. For years I led worship. And I thought, I don't want to look... I'm preaching too. I don't want to look like a fool. Well, you know what? People are going to think what they want to think anyway. So just form your own opinions. When the Spirit of God is moving, don't let anything stand in your way. Old blind Bartimaeus wasn't going to have it, was he? He was not going to be silenced. He was not going to miss an opportunity for someone to change his life. Do you realize that today, come on, today could be the day when Jesus changes your life? And you say, "Well, Eric, I've been saved 20 years. I'm not talking about salvation." Is salvation the only thing you need? I'm saved. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're saved. Does that mean everything you need is completed? I doubt it. I doubt it. I'm saved, but my marriage is falling apart. I'm saved, but I don't know what to do. My mind is so confused. Some days I don't know how I make it to work. I'm in such confusion. But I know I've committed my heart to Jesus. Do you realize He can change your situation? He could change it today. But are you going to allow someone else? Are you going to allow someone to stop you? When the world comes by and says, now you need to settle yourself down. Hey, He doesn't have time for you today. Are you going to listen to Him? Are you going to say, back up, Jack. Get out of my face. I might be blind, but I can still swing at you. Get out of my way. I noticed that scripture that it says that, let me read in Jeremiah. It says, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Do you believe that there's something the Holy Spirit could show you today that are great and mighty that you have no knowledge of today? I believe there's things out there. Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Let faith arise in your present circumstances so He can change your future. What you do today is going to affect your tomorrows. Scripture said that Jesus stood still. When everybody else might be rushing Him down the road, and everybody else is telling blind Bartimaeus, hey, sit back and chill out, brother. Jesus heard that cry, and He stopped. I love that. Jesus stopped. He stopped for one man. He did not stop because there was a crowd gathering that He could preach to. He didn't stop to take an offering. He didn't stop for the accolades of 1,000 people. He stopped for one person. Oh my goodness. How precious we are to God. One person stops Jesus in the road. One. Isn't that amazing? A blind man. A man that really had nothing to offer Him. He didn't have a large offering. He was begging for his daily needs. Bartimaeus didn't have anything to offer, but Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still, and He stands still for you too. When you call His name, it gets His attention, and He stops. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Two times I talked to two different people this week, and it was amazing. They said, I had a need and I never prayed about it. Two different people on two different days. They didn't realize they were speaking something into my heart. They were speaking something that went into my heart so it could come out of my mouth for you. How many things do we deal with that we never take to Him? Oh, I can handle this one. I can go it alone, Jesus. I got this one. You have no idea how complicated it could get. I've seen very simple things get super complicated. You may think you've got it together, but you better find grace and mercy in your time of need. The next thing He says, Jesus stood still and said, bring that old boy up to me. And the scripture says this, that Bartimaeus took that cloth off and he apabolo. I say it different every time I try to. Apabolo. It's the same one that says, therefore do not cast away. Don't cast away the one we started with today. Don't cast away your confidence. It's the same Greek word that says that he cast away his garment. Now, what many of us don't know, because it's not in Scripture, it doesn't really tell us about that garment. But if you study history, history will tell you about that garment. You see, that garment was a government-issued garment. It gave him the privilege. It gave him the opportunity to beg. Not everybody could go on the street and beg. You had to petition the government. Say, I really have this need. I really can't provide for myself. I really need something to provide for me. So they issued a garment that he would wrap himself in, that so everybody that would walk down the road, when they saw that garment, they would think, he's genuine. Almost wish we had something like that today. Because we will work for food doesn't work. How many Christians, if we knew that that person was genuine, we'd take care of them. But because we hear so many stories, we can't trust those stories. We can't trust the person that holds that sign. So what do? We just keep moseying along, don't we? Sounds like a pretty good plan. But I love the fact that old Bartimaeus didn't fold it and set it aside. He takes that garment and he throws it away. You know why? Because I know that I know that I know that he thought, I will never need this garment again. I'm not going to need it anymore. I'm getting rid of this thing that has humiliated me. I'm throwing it away. I wish that we would do that to some of the things that hold us in bondage. Take it and cast it away. I'm not coming back this way any longer. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, he looked at the people around him. He says, now loose him. Loose him and let him go free. Oh, Bartimaeus loosed himself. I'm not needing this any longer. I tell you what, when we got saved, if we would take that kind of spirit with our old lifestyle, maybe even some old friends, cast it away. They've never helped me do anything good in life. I don't need them in my life any longer. He discarded it. He makes his way to Jesus. And then this is the one thing that gets me in this whole scripture. It's like, really? Jesus looks at blind Bartimaeus and he says, well, what do you need? Isn't it obvious, Jesus? I would have been sarcastic. I know it would just, I need a haircut. Can you get me? I would have blew it. I know I would have blew it. What do you need? You mean I really have to state the obvious? Do you know today in our churches, we have to beg people to come for prayer. They come in sick, and the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Not the church beg them. Why? What's the difference, Eric? Are you just splitting hairs? What's the difference in that? It puts faith in your court, not in ours. Did you realize? He says, I need my sight. I want to see, Jesus, I want to see. He says, your faith. Not my faith. Not these disciples' faith. Your faith has healed you. Oh! We put so much faith in a man. I just need Eric to lay hands on me. I need Ray. I gotta have Robbie touch me. Your faith is what's going to touch you. Your faith is what's going to heal you. It's not a man. You better be glad you're not sitting on the front row. Rabboni, my teacher, I want to see. I want to see Jesus. I want to see. Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. It seems to me the church has faith in a lot of things. The Christians have faith. We have faith in the program. We have faith in, we have faith in everything that's wrong. Your doctor says something, and the Bible says something. We take the doctor's word, not the Bible. They contradict. But my doctor, do you know we still call them practicing physicians? They're practicing medicine. God doesn't practice. God is the healer. He's the great I am. He's everything that you'll ever need. But you got to ask. You have not because you ask not. We come to church empty, just hoping and praying that our lives are changed, but we never ask. Sometimes I stand up here and I just almost beg, come on. Come on, let God move in your life. Please, if you're here today, your life is a mess. Oh, I can't let this church think that my life's a mess. We know your life's a mess. You talked to me last week and I have a Twitter account. No. No, I do not have a Twitter account. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I know that in some of your mind, you're saying, there's the problem. You see, Jesus looked at him and says, your faith. And some of you are looking at deep inside your heart and said, that's my problem. I don't have faith. I beg to differ with you. I beg to differ. What are you doing here today if you have no faith? You have faith or you would never pray. See, just the fact that you pray says, I believe that there's a God. And that's enough! That's all He needs! We don't have to be these mountain movers. All we got to know is there is a God and He loves me! Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, but I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Can I say something? You do not have to have your life together for Him to touch your heart. For Him to change your... You may say, but you don't understand. I did it to myself. We've all done it to ourselves. Right? I've got cirrhosis of the liver because I drank for 30 years. I don't care. And He doesn't care either. He doesn't stand up there and say, well, I ain't healing cirrhosis of the liver because they just drank themselves to death. We've all, everything that's wrong in us is because of sin that we have participated in. We're all guilty. We all deserve death. It is the grace and the mercy of God. It's not because you're good. Dear God, this church house would be empty if we only let good people come. Well, I'm sorry. We do have Edith Newsom here. And Edith tells me at the end of service, now, Pastor, you blew it again. You could have told them that I was here. So we have one that thinks they're good. I'll give her that. No, she's teasing. The simplicity that's in Christ. Do you believe? Do you believe? All things are possible to him who believes. Now see, you have a choice. You can live with it. Whatever it is, you can live with it. You can die with it. or you can believe God to change it. I don't care what it is. We used to sing a song. He's passing by this moment. Don't pass me by, gentle Savior. He stops in the middle of the road. When everybody else is saying, tell that old blind guy to shut up, he stops in the middle of the road. I've got time for him. And he's got time for you. Do you have the faith to ask? Do you have the faith to believe that God can change my circumstances? I'm pretty comfortable being a beggar. You know, I've made it for 35 years as a beggar. I'm doing all right. Oh my. Oh my, when we get satisfied with the filth and the degradation that we're living in. When you get satisfied with a defeated, sinful life, you're in worse shape than what you think. Are you willing to ask? How did he show that he had faith? By crying out when others told him to be quiet. By throwing away his garment. And by asking in faith, clearly, I want to receive my sight. I find that many Christians come to church expecting nothing. And they go away not disappointed. They receive nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. God can change your life. And He'll make it better. He won't make it worse. Would you stand with me? Second Peter says, everything we need for life and godliness, we find in Him. Everything we need for life and godliness, we find in Jesus. I'm going to ask that if you're here and you need something from the Lord, I'm not going to try to put this in categories. I'm just going to say this altar is open for those of you that want to ask Him for something. Not ask me. I'm not going to speak to you. I may pray for you, but I'm not going to speak to you because it's none of my business. But I will pray for you. If you want to, if there's something in your heart that says, I need a touch of the Savior today, come on down. Let the Lord move in your life. Remember the first verse. Don't cast away your confidence. Hallelujah. Pastor Ray.
Has fear and doubt come against your mind? Has your faith been sorely tried? Lift up your head. Here cometh your help. It is Jesus for you. Out to Him, He will meet.